Flaherty pops it up. Juarez has it. A record-breaking run for Oklahoma, capped with a fifth national championship.
Oklahoma, what a run they had. The top-seeded Oklahoma Sooners fought their way out of the loser's bracket at the College World Series in Oklahoma City. Came back from a loss in Game 1 to win the national championship 5-1 over Florida State. They also lost Game 1 of the best 2 out of 3 to Florida State. Had to win the last two. Got it done. 5-1 the final as their pitcher Juarez pitched the best series of her career in the biggest moment of her career. The veteran pitcher allowed just 2 hits, 7 strikeouts in the victory yesterday afternoon. Her ERA was .90, under a run per game. Went 5-0 and dished out 38 Ks in the tournament. Sooners pick up their 5th. National championship in softball, the 3rd since 2016. Jocelyn Alo, the National Player of the Year, won her first title of the program. She went 2-for-3 yesterday, a solo home run to get the Sooners on the board early in the ballgame. And Kinsey Hansen, outstanding player for Oklahoma, her thoughts on winning a championship for the Sooners in softball yet again.
It's my first full season here with the Sooners, and yeah. I'm about to get emotional, but it's all for the girls, man. We hold up our 4. It's for God. It's for each other, you know. I couldn't be more proud of my teammates. They're my sisters, man. They would, every single one of us would go down in flames for each other, you know. It's about that fight and that gladiator mentality, you know. We've said it all year. We're just a no-quit team, and I think we proved it.
Oklahoma Sooners, they are the best in softball, national champions, and we have the 80 best All-Stars when it comes to 8-man football in the state of Kansas that have convened in Beloit. And Dusty Dinus is out at practices here this morning and will tell us more, and we'll hear from some of our area athletes that are playing in the game.
Yeah, Division II East today. Man, it's a beautiful day. The clouds are out. It's not overwhelmingly hot this morning like it was yesterday, so a great day to finish for these kids and get ready for the 8-man All-Star games coming up tomorrow. Again, we're at D2 East today with the St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, and Osborne representatives from the area, and we're going to go ahead and start with Braden Perez, who had a great career with the Blue Jays. Braden, you've had now the week to kind of get to know everybody. What are some of the things that have stood out for you so far?
Just everybody's wanting to win this game, and like everybody doing good and making all the reps count in practice, and just a fun experience.
Is it everything you expected it to be, or has there been some wrenches thrown in maybe?
Not too many, but just a long week and just ready to play the game by now, honestly.
I'm going to get ready to talk to your twin brother Blake here in a second. I know you guys have always supported each other growing up, so what has it been like to be with him this week, and it looks like you guys are going to be on the field quite a bit together as well.
Yeah, it's been a good experience to be with him. It brings a good competitive nature to practice and everything like that. And yeah.
Braden Perez from St. John's Tipton, we'll let you get back. I don't want to take too much time since I got full rubbing. I got to get practices going. Blake, you know, your older brother Eric played in the game too, so what's it like to be able to carry on that family tradition and be able to represent St. John's Tipton as a family here?
It's good because it just shows the hard work that we put in practice at school and the hard work that I'm following my brother's footsteps and just doing anything we can.
I just asked Braden what it meant, but surely you guys don't always get along, right? There's probably some fights on the football field every now and then. What's it like to be out here in this environment with them again?
Yeah, there's some. It's very competitive. We get mad at each other sometimes, but, you know, we just brush it off and go the next play.
For you, what are you looking most forward to as far as the game tomorrow and getting out there for one last time here?
I'm just looking forward to hitting some people on defense and making plays.
Blake Perez from St. John's Tipton, appreciate it, bud. Wyatt Everly from Lakeside. Wyatt, man, I've been around you since you were a little kid, so it's great to see you here and being a part of this. First one in your family to really do it, in your immediate family. What's it been like, this experience this week for you, and actually getting to play with some of the guys that you're knocking heads against all your career?
It's been pretty fun. I mean, just getting to play and see everybody else's talents and how well we coexist with each other, even though we play against each other the whole year. So it kind of just is cool to see everybody come together and play as a team.
There's 4 different coaches here this year, so you've had to pick up maybe some different terminology and things like that. How's that gone for you? Has it been difficult, or was it pretty easy to pick all that up?
It's been pretty easy to pick it up. There's been a couple different things they've said, like on defenses and offensive sets, but I caught on to it pretty quick, and it seems like everything's going smooth, so I think it worked out pretty good.
How exciting is it for you to be right here in Beloit and have, you know, a lot of your family and friends being able to come and watch you tomorrow?
It's very nice to be able to be right here in Beloit, and I think I got family coming from quite a ways away, but most of it lives right around here, so it's pretty easy for them to all get down here and be able to watch me play, and that means a lot.
Well, Everly from Lakeside, I appreciate it, bud. Good luck tomorrow. Lance Kazer, you get the last shot here. Lance, you're obviously at Osborne state champion as a junior, and this year it was a little bit different season. You had to step up and be a leader for the squad. As you look at that and were able to work yourself into an eight-man all-star, what did that experience mean for you?
It meant a lot. You know, just coming with these guys, being one of the top 20 in the state, really felt good.
And then representing that Osborne tradition, how much does that mean for you to be one of now 21 all-stars since Osborne started eight-man football 11 years ago?
That really means a lot, being one of those guys, being remembered for Osborne as an all-star.
And just looking at the experience this week, what are some of the biggest things that have stood out to you? How exciting has it been to be a part of this certain group of 19 other kids that have put in the work this week?
It's been fun coming together with these guys and seeing how they work and how much work they've put in also. It's just been a good experience.
Lance Kazer from Osborne, we appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow, bud.
All right, thank you.
Those are the four media area representatives for tomorrow from the Division II East squad. There's a couple Pike Valley kids. I didn't want to take everybody from Coach Detweiler's practice today, so we got those four, and we'll hope to talk with the Pike Valley kids during the broadcast tomorrow as well. So great day again here today, and they're getting everything put in. Just the final wrap-up and the final pieces of the puzzle that they need to put together to get ready for the games coming up here tomorrow. Lee.
All right, tell people what they can find. 8manallstars.com is the perfect place to go for everything you need for the 8-man All-Star games. But let people know some of the things that you have there.
So, yeah, we got all the features that we've done this week on our area teams, and there's actually going to be a couple more posting today with some state champions in Hanover and Little River. People are interested in some of that. But all of our features that we've done, including the four guys that I talked to there, they're already posted there at 8manallstars.com, as well as some things we did earlier this week with Trey Barrientos of Sylvan Lucas and Tyler Good from Lincoln. So all that you can read, you can hear comments and cuts and quotes from them on all those stories. Also, we do have all the rosters posted at 8manallstars.com, but not only that, there's all kinds of information on the website about each and every single player that's playing in this game. There's pictures, there's bios, there's press release info that says a lot of their stats and accolades that they've had throughout their careers. It's all posted there. Roster pages, just go to the top of the menu there, and you'll see a roster drop-down menu that you can get there. There's 8-man All-Star Game records, and there's so much stuff on there, I can't remember everything off the top of my head, but those are some of the main points right now as we prepare this week. And again, 8manallstars.com is also your place. You want to listen online tomorrow to the games and anything else that we're covering from the 8-man realm here this week.
All right, amenallstars.com website to go to. Also, we have a link at nckesports.com, and it'll take you straight there as well. And then today, the 8-man All-Star Game pep rally from 4 to 5. Dusty and I will be helping with that, emceeing the event at Chautauqua Park. 4 to 5, we've got some new things scheduled for the All-Stars after not having it last year due to COVID-19. And there is shade down there, so that should be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to that from 4 to 5 today with the 80 All-Stars and also the coaches as well. And then that'll conclude at 5. Then people can either go to the pool, go out to eat, or whatever the case may be. If they are local, they can go home and then maybe come back for the Friday Night Lights this evening from 8 to 10 at NCK Tech College there at their football field, just there to the north or to the side, northeast there of the college. So you can check all that, Friday Night Lights. And there'll be plenty for people to do. There'll be music and fun there and get to interact with some of the players. And then they'll have a highlight reel at dusk that they'll show probably around 9:15, 9:30 tonight as well. And then the 8-man All-Star Games tomorrow, 9:30 is our pregame coverage on Katie Couch 94 and katiecouch94.com, also 8manallstars.com. 9:30 pregame, 10 o'clock kickoff. Dusty will be in the sidelines. Todd and I'll be in the booth. Dusty gets the better weather on the sidelines tomorrow, more than likely. But it should be a lot of fun, and I know it's fun for Dusty and I to kind of go back and forth in regards to the press box, calling play-by-play, and then being on the sideline. It's kind of a different feel, and I think we can appreciate the game even more by being on the sideline for one of the games, and then the other game we're on play-by-play in the booth. So Todd and I'll do play-by-play in color of game one. It's the Division II All-Stars at 10 o'clock, pregame at 9:30. Dusty on the sidelines. Then game two, pregame, it'll be Division I All-Stars, 1:30 kickoff, pregame at 1 o'clock. And I'll be on the sidelines, and Dusty will be in the booth doing play-by-play, and Todd Clover will provide the color commentary. And Dave Dreyer will be running the PA and does a great job with that as well. And big thanks to all the people and volunteers, organizations that way too many people do mention individually that have done a wonderful job of making all the games possible and the events going on throughout the week as well. So we look forward to all the coverage beginning at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Anything else you want to add, Dusty?
No, I mean, just I would encourage everybody, if you can make it out, come on out. But if you can't, we're the spot to go and listen to the games and be a part of it. And these kids have put in a lot of work this week, and they've all been upstanding citizens and just doing a lot of hard work to put on a good product and a good game for you tomorrow. So I would encourage you to come out if you can. But, again, we've got you covered if you can't. And we're looking forward to another great day of high school football tomorrow.
Once again, the games will be at Trojan Field there in Beloit, 10 o'clock for the Division II game and 1:30 of Division I game, pregame half hour prior to that. And the field's in great shape, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day of weather tomorrow as well, though it'll be a little warm there in the afternoon, but it should be fun. And one thing that people maybe are not aware of, if you haven't listened to the broadcast before, we talk to a lot of players during each of the games on the sideline, and then the halftime we talk to coaches or players too. So it's a unique situation, experience for all of us, and hopefully everybody will enjoy the broadcast if you're able to listen, whether you're at the game and you have your headphones on there listening and watching at the same time, or if you're not able to make it and can listen. Once again, online, 8manallstars.com, KatieCountry94 and KatieCountry94.com. Dusty, there's some volleyball tonight, correct?
Yes, the State Line TBC All-Star Games at TBC NPL is happening up in Mankato, Rock Hills High School. That starts at 6 o'clock. Pre-game festivities are going to start about 15 minutes ahead of time. A lot of area athletes that are playing from the Northern Plains League, and you can find that full roster at ncksports.com. I'll have it listed again on the noon sportscast as well. I don't have every name right in front of me right now, but yeah, there's quite a few representatives from the area and the NPL team, and again, that'll start at 6 o'clock tonight with introductions 15 minutes ahead of time, and fans are welcome to attend up in Mankato here tonight.
Yeah, Cadence Nondorf of Sylvan Lucas, Kerrigan Dunstan of Rock Hills, Peyton Hake of Lakeside, Madeline Davis and Rainey Raby of Thunder Ridge, Colby Hennis of Lakeside, Josiah Field of Pike Valley, Shaylin McMillan of Southern Cloud, Destiny Hammer of Pike Valley, Brecken Obermuller of Lincoln, and also Kelly Walters of Osborne. Lauren Dubert was selected to play but has other commitments. Obviously, there's a wedding that has been the main focus and should be. As you only hopefully do that once in your life, so that's pretty cool. And that's why Dave, the chairman of the 8-Man All-Star Games, and does a great job. He's had to hand that off here the last couple days since he has a wedding to attend. And, of course, Lauren will be there as well, so she won't be able to play in that. And Linda Herring is the head coach of Sylvan Lucas, Tasha Bland of Lincoln Assistant. So best of luck to all those area volleyball all-stars at the All-Star Festivities taking place tonight there at Rock Hills High School in Mankato. Once again, it's scheduled to start at 6 o'clock. Pre-game and introduction will begin 15 minutes prior to the game. Admission is $5 for adults, $3 for students. All right, Dusty, I'll give you the last word and I'll let you go. What do you think tomorrow? What stands out to you about these teams? There's a lot of size, a lot of physicality. There's a lot of speed. There's always speed. What do you think? Anybody have an edge? Any particular player you're looking forward to seeing more than others?
The kid that came in late to replace the Norris kid from Valley Falls, Braden Collins of Canton Galva, they're raving about this kid this week and said that, man, this is a nice get for our team to be able to have him on it. So I'm kind of looking to see what he brings, but he's like a 220-pound running back, basically, from Canton Galva, and obviously very good. Personal connection, his grandma was Mrs. Collins, if you didn't know that, our teacher in high school. So I'm keeping an eye on Braden.
Oh,
sure.
My, okay. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, and that's just a personal connection that Wade and I would know, and nobody else probably cares, but we're looking forward to that. You know, a lot of years, like you said, there's size and speed and everything from that aspect. A lot of years I can look here and say, I think this team has an advantage, and you know, obviously I've been focusing a little bit more on the D1 game since that's the game I'm doing the play-by-play on, and getting all that info ready, but it's hard for me to just say, hey, this team has an advantage, because there's so much size and so much speed on both teams that it's hard to figure out which team's going to have that advantage coming up tomorrow. And then a lot of years you'll think one team's going to have the advantage, and then all of a sudden it snowballs and things don't go the right way for them. So this year it's hard for me to even choose which teams might have an advantage, because it seems like there's a pretty good balance for each one of these four teams that are here. So I'm hoping that lends to some really good games tomorrow, and we'll see if that does or not. But really looking forward to seeing what they can bring to the table. And then obviously we're looking forward to seeing how all of our local athletes will fare. Most of them playing in that D2 game for the East squad, and then one for each of the D2 West and one for the D1 East. So obviously we'll focus on those guys and want to see how they'll do, and hope they have a good weekend as well for those immediate area folks that we've previewed all week. But really looking forward to it and seeing if we can get some really close and quality contests coming up tomorrow.
All right, look forward to it. Dusty, great job this week. We'll talk to you, and everybody can listen to you and me and Todd coming up tomorrow.
It sounds good.
All right, take care. Dusty Dinah, sports director, doing a great job of covering the 8-man All-Star games and all the coverage with the practice reports. Dusty's done a lot of work, heavy lifting in regards to all the profiles and features that we have at 8manallstars.com. Got some great pictures as well. Thanks to Barb and Charles Axtell for sharing information as well that they've collected, so we could put all that on the website. I'm telling you, 8manallstars.com, that's where you need to go. That's if you need any information tied to 8-man All-Star games and some of the features. And we got our affiliates listed. We'll have the games on KD Country 94, 8manallstars.com. KR92 in Belleville is an affiliate at astroradio.com. That's a website online there for all the Hutchinson stations and people down that area to listen. And also the first game will be on AM 1570 KNDY in Marysville and FM 94.1 there in Marysville as well. So we got some affiliates there posted at 8manallstars.com. Well, a subgroup of college football playoffs management committee yesterday presented a proposal to change the current 4-team playoff format to a 12-team event. The proposal was made to the full CFP management committee and is the first step in a process that will not conclude before this fall. The 4-team format has been very popular and is a big success, the members of the 4-person working group said in a statement, but it's important that we consider the opportunity for more teams and more student athletes to participate in the playoff. After reviewing numerous options, we believe this proposal is the best option to increase participation, enhance the regular season, and grow the national excitement of college football. You think? The 4 highest-ranked conference champions would be seeded 1-4 with the proposal. Each would receive a first-round bye, while teams seeded 5-12 would play each other in the first round on the home field of the higher-ranked team. So let's say Oklahoma was ranked 5th and Georgia was ranked 12th. Georgia would be at Oklahoma, would be an example of that. And that would be big for, obviously, the city of Norman, Oklahoma, or whoever would have the home games. That'd be a boost to their economy. The team ranked 5th would host number 12, and then, of course, 6 would host 11, 7 would host 10, and 8 would host 9. Under the proposal, the quarterfinals and semifinals would be played in bowl game sites. The championship game would continue to be at a neutral site. I don't have really a big problem with that. I think you could go 16 and have everybody play, but 12 and give them the top 4 a bye, I'm okay with that as well. This is definitely a step in the right direction. We've talked about this for many years. As soon as they talked about a 4-team playoff and they brought it out, we said this isn't going to last. They're going to have to expand it to 8, 12, 16, 32, whatever it is. Every other level of football has a football playoff, and it's more than 4 teams. I hesitate to ever call this a playoff that we have now. When you exclude every conference champion and you don't even include all of the Power 5 conference champions because there's 5 of them and there's only 4 spots, to me, I don't know how that can be a playoff. So I've never, to me, it's just been a national semifinals. It was an and one. It was the BCS and you add one. That's all it was to me. Then they have this big reveal every week about the rankings, where things stand. And then we saw sometimes where they didn't even stick to the situation. Of course, if you remember what happened to TCU that one year and so forth and so on, in the TCU-Baylor situation, Ohio State jumping in to grab a spot. So, hey, I'm okay with this. Definitely a step in the right direction if they go to 12 teams or college football format. I've never understood why college football is hesitant. So I guess they're worried about the bowls, but it's all about money. It's always about money, and that's the one thing I haven't understood. Like, why wouldn't you want to have more playoff games? I mean, imagine if more teams have a chance to make a playoff, how much more excitement you have. We've seen that with wild card teams in baseball. Some people said that ain't going to work. Actually, it worked absolutely fantastic because more teams have a chance to make it, like small market teams like the Royals and Pirates and others who have made the playoffs. And, of course, the Royals won a World Series, made it the World Series in 14 as a wild card. 15, they did win the division and win it all against the Mets. So, it's to me, this is a very good thing. Of course, remember, too, you know, in baseball, we've got, you know, about, what is, how many teams are in the playoffs? 10 of the 30 or something like that, roughly. NBA's got about half the teams in the playoffs. The NFL's getting to the point where they're going to have almost half of their teams in the playoffs now that 70 each conference make the playoffs. But we shall point out that that in college football, there's way more college football Division I programs than there is any of the sports leagues and the amount of teams they have in their league. So 12 out of what, 128 or whatever it is that are Division I football programs, I think we could make that work. So I like it. It sounds like it's going to be approved. Now, for those of you that want it to happen right away, it will not. They say that the first time they can incorporate this is 2023. So we'll be stuck with these 14 playoff for the next 2 years, but help is on the horizon. If you wanted a bigger playoff field for college football, raise your hand. I have both of my hands up right now. Okay, the Royals, they snap a five-game skid last night and came up with some power in the eighth inning.
Correctly. Good swing by Benintendi, and that's deep to center field. Bolt turns, and it's over the wall. Andrew Benintendi against a tough lefty, homers to center field. Now Soler gets into one. Deep left center field. That is in the seats for a two-run home run. The Royals have three more in the eighth inning.
As the Royals starting pitching goes, as do the Royals go. And there you go last night. Last couple of starts, they are all three starts against the Anaheim Angels. The starters didn't go that deep into ball games, and the Royals ended up losing all three, plus the offense went dormant. Last night, Mike Minor was fantastic. He's now 5-3 on the year, 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, allowed just a solo home run. And then Scott Barlow and Greg Holland closed the door. The Royals with Soler with a home run, of course, and you heard Benintendi with a home run as well. And Kevin Gutierrez had a couple of hits and a couple of RBIs. Royals with 6 runs on 10 hits. They're down 1-0 after that solo homer that Minor gave up in the fourth. But the Royals with 3-7, 3-8, break the five-game skid. They're now 30-31 on the season. The A's are now 37-27. Brady Singer will be on the hill for the boys in blue coming up tonight, the second game of a four-game set in Oakland. Singer 3-5 with an ERA of 4.88. Mike Matheny, manager of the Royals, on the superb performance by his veteran left-handed pitcher, Mike Minor.
Yeah, we talk about having a stopper, one of those starters that comes in and gives us that solid outing, and that was as good as we could ask for. I mean, he just did a great job, I thought, controlling the strike zone with his fastball and moving it around, elevating, and made good pitches. He only got hurt on the one curveball. I mean, it really wasn't that bad of a pitch. But besides that, controlled counts. What do you have, one walk the whole night, and just kept a nice pace going.
8:40, first pitch tonight in Oakland, the Royals versus the A's. NBA playoffs last night. You know, we've been talking about this, and I've talked about it. Sometimes the predictions that we make are way off. We've made fun of that. Sometimes our predictions are right on. And I was trying to tell people that we're in, and I said the Nets, I don't see the Bucks winning the series down 2-0 because the Bucks aren't going to win 4 of the next 5. But I did say that the best chance the Bucks have of winning a game is game 3. First game of the series at home in Milwaukee. Their back's against the wall. They better come out firing because their season is on the line. The Nets will probably have a little bit of a letdown, perhaps, like they did when they went into Boston up 2-0 in the first round. Boston won, and then the Nets woke up and dominated the next two games. Last night, the Bucks found a way to win in a low-scoring affair, 86-83.
Middleton, a great free-throw shooter, 88% for his career. That makes it a two-point game. This is a huge free-throw here. And what a bounce back game for Chris Middleton. Out to Durant. Durant, one dribble, fires it up. Oh, back of the rim. Jubilation here in Milwaukee. The Bucks are right back in the series.
And the Bucks are back in the series. Probably helps to sell more tickets, keep interest in the series as well, if you believe the NBA is rigged, as somebody told me last night. Chris Middleton, 35 points, 15 rebounds. He did play like an all-star. Kevin Durant, 30 points, but it took him 28 shots. Kyrie Irving, 22 points, took him 22 shots. Listen, if Durant and Irving are that inefficient, then you have a chance. And whether that's the Bucks defense that caused that or they just had an off night, I'm not sure. I didn't get to watch much of the game because I was at Summer League Basketball in Clay Center last night. But the Bucks did win game 3, and to me, when you're one of the best teams in the NBA, you have to win that game last night, and you should win that game last night. And the Bucks did, 86-83, but I think the Nets then will win the next two, and that'll be that. Could be wrong. Maybe it'll go 6, but I just don't see the Bucks winning this series. I don't think many people in America think the Bucks are going to win this series. And now will the Nets rush James Harden back, thinking they need him, and then he re-aggravates a hamstring and then out for the rest of the playoffs? or will they be cautious with it? I think they can be cautious with it because here's the thing. Last night, Kevin Durant did not shoot the ball well, 11 of 28. Kyrie Irving was 9 of 22, didn't shoot the ball well. And Joe Harris, one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA, was 1 of 11 from the floor yesterday. And they lost by 3. It took Chris Middleton to have 35 points and hit a couple clutch free throws down the stretch and Drew Holiday make a big bucket for Milwaukee to even win at home. So Brooklyn had all kinds of things they didn't do right, didn't play well last night, and still had a chance to tie it and send it in overtime on a Durant shot. So, yeah, that tells you how good the Nets are. Nice win for the Bucks. They'll avoid getting swept, but I don't give them much of a chance of winning the series unless Durant and Irving both get hurt, and they, along with Harden, are on the bench in street clothes. The Jazz beat the Clippers last night. They're up 2-0. They win 117-111. Paul George, 27 points, 10 rebounds, lead the Clippers. But the Clippers don't have an answer for Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell had 45 in game one. He had 37 last night. He has turned into a bona fide superstar. And he just seems to be even better when the lights are the brightest. He was great in the bubble last year in the NBA playoffs. And he's a guy, man, that wasn't highly touted out of Louisville. And Utah obviously drafted him. And look what he's doing last night, 37 points. I mean, you got Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, some of the best two-way players in the NBA. Both are very good defensively, and nobody's been able to match up with Mitchell. Mitchell, 37 last night in the Jazz win. They're up 2-0 in that best-of-seven series. And so the Jazz will try to go for the commanding 3-0 lead in Game 3. And looking at everything that took place last night for the Jazz, once again, Mike Conley did not play. So that's two games where Mike Conley has not played, and the Jazz won anyway. And Rudy Gobert last night, 13 points, 20 rebounds, and 3 block shots. He's an X factor, no doubt. And Jordan Clarkson chipped in with 24 points off the bench last night. As no Mike Conley, no problem. Jazz up 2-0. Now, before you write the Clippers off, and granted, the Jazz are better than the Mavericks, but the Clippers were down 2-0 in their last series against Dallas after losing their first two games at home, and then they went on to win the series in 7. Here, they lost the first two games on the road. If they come back and hold serve, it'll be 2-2 going back to Utah. So keep that in mind. Lots of times people want to jump the gun when some team is up 2-0, especially, well, to me, I think jumping the gun is when a team's up 2-0 when they won the first two games at home. Now, sometimes, you know, you win the first two games on the road, you should win the series, but then we saw the Mavericks not do that. So though the NBA playoff games were last night, the NBA schedule for tonight, Hawks-Sixers, Trae Young versus Joel Embiid. It's Hawks-Sixers game 3 tonight. That series tied 1-1 on ESPN at 6:30. We'll see if Ben Simmons continues to guard Trae Young. I would guess he would. And can Trae Young come up with some adjustments? Because he really was slowed down in game 2 by Ben Simmons, one of the best defensive players in the NBA. The Suns are at the Nuggets. This is one of those series that a lot of people are saying the Nuggets are done. Blah, blah, blah. It's over. It's going to be a sweep. And it might be. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I like the Suns. I really enjoy watching them play. I love Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And I really like DeAndre Ayton now. He's come along, too. I like the Nuggets as well. I just don't think they have the firepower to win this series. At least it doesn't appear that they do. But I will say this. I expect the Nuggets to win tonight. I expect the Nuggets to win game 3 and make that a series. We shall see. The Nuggets are a much better team than they showed in the first two games against Phoenix in Phoenix, but then maybe this is just a bad matchup for the Nuggets. It's possible. But I know one thing. Michael Porter and others are going to have to play much better than they did in game 2, or they're going to need Jokic to score 50 to win. Nuggets, Suns tonight, 9 o'clock on ESPN. Then coming up tomorrow on Saturday, one NBA game. It's the Jazz at the Clippers, game 3 at 7:30 tomorrow night on ABC. All right, we move ahead to the NHL playoffs where the Avs season comes to an end.
And that's knocked out of the air by McKinnon. Played by Pacioretty. He scores! It will be the Vegas Golden Knights and the Montreal Canadiens in round 3.
Golden Knights win 6-3 in game 6 in Vegas. They take the series 4-2. Avalanche just absolutely blew a gigantic opportunity in Game 5, up 2-0 going the third period and couldn't finish it and lost in overtime, and that was pretty much the series. Avalanche won every game in the playoffs. They were up 2-0, and then the Vegas won 4 in a row. So the Avs lost their last 4 games of the season. They had won the first 6 playoff games. Vegas moves on with the 6-game series win, and they'll move on take on the Montreal Canadiens in the next round. Islanders and Lightning Game 1 of their series in the East. That's at 3 o'clock on Sunday, 2 o'clock, I should say, our time, on NBC. So they get regular network TV, yay, for the Hockey League on Sunday. And then Canadiens Golden Knights coming up on Monday. So we are down to the final four teams. We're into the conference finals. It's the Islanders and the Lightning. Lightning defending champs in the NHL from a year ago, and then the Canadiens and the Golden Knights. And I will tell you something right now. It is a huge advantage, gigantic advantage for the Vegas Golden Knights. Here's why. The Knights, the professional teams in Canada cannot have fans yet at games. Montreal, when they have their home ice, they'll have no fans unless they're going to change that here. The Golden Knights of Las Vegas, packed house, and that place is rocking almost all the time. I've got a couple friends have gone and watched, gone to a Vegas hockey game. They said it's insane. So that's a huge advantage for Las Vegas. And then Tampa Bay Lightning and New York Islanders, of course, both here in the U.S. of A., so they'll both have their home court advantages, or home ice advantages, I should say. Other sports news to you. By the way, the Las Vegas Knights, they are the third team in NHL history to reach the semifinals in three of their first four seasons. That's pretty impressive. Joining New York Rangers and the St. Louis Blues. So the Knights have put it together very quickly as an expansion team 4 years ago. Report, Chris Paul of the Suns intends to decline his $44.2 million option. People will say, why would he decline $44 million? He probably can get a better deal long-term, obviously, even though he's 36. What else we have here? Todd Gurley coming in to Baltimore to get a look at the former two-time All-Pro running back. Will come into Baltimore and get a he'll have a the Ravens will give him a look. There's a report that the Boston Celtics look to trade Kemba Walker to the San Antonio Spurs at the NBA trade deadline, but that did not come to fruition. And I want to pull up the Chris Paul story here real quick here. Paul wants another big contract, and it'll be interesting how big of a contract could he get since he is 36. So it is interesting. He's probably hoping to land a multi-year deal, maybe a three-year deal that would get him about $100 million. Question is, somebody going to want to put that much money into a guy that's 36 years of age, although it doesn't really show any signs of slowing down other than when he gets, you know, banged up, as he did there early in the series against the Lakers. But the way Chris Paul is playing now, and if he continues to play like he has been and the Suns, you know, keep moving on, Paul probably would be the smart guy by declining, I can't believe I'm saying this, declining $44 million. He probably would be smart by doing that. If he can stay healthy and go through these playoffs and play at a high level, which he's been able to do here the last few games, 24 assists and one turnover in the series against the Nuggets, he can't be much better than that as a point guard. So we shall see. But did you ever think you'd see the day? Dusty's back in the studio. Did you ever think you'd see the day where a player would decline a $44 million option?
No.
I didn't think I'd ever see that. $44.2 million player option, he's going to probably decline it and test free agency. I'll tell you this. I think he will get more than $44 million by going free agency. I would think he'd get at least a two-year deal worth $60. And even though it'd be $30 million per year, you may say, well, that's not as good a deal as $44. Well, look at the overall money. You'd have $60 million in guaranteed money instead of $44. So that's part of the reason why you opt out of the $44 million. Even if you get less per season on a two- or three-year deal, you're getting all that guaranteed money and getting the longer deal. And that's the key, the length of the contract. And that's why lots of players end up opting out. The executives have talked and said that they peg CP into a three-year, $60 million type of range. Does Paul go for the most guaranteed money, or does he pick up the option and bet he has another all-star season? And that's true. He could, at the age of 37, he could come back on the $44 million option, opt in, and get the $44 million. If he has a really good year, then he might still be able to get a two- or three-year deal worth $60, $70, $80 million. That's true, too. I don't know. I think if I was Chris Paul, I think at the age he is, and he's had a few injury things here and there, especially in the playoffs, I think a lot of people would say, well, you just take the $44 million, but you know he's going to get more than a one-year deal out there, and it's going to be more than $44 million overall. So I think I would do what Chris Paul is probably going to do. I actually think that's probably the smart thing.
Yeah.
But he knows his body better than anybody else.
Yeah.
So if he thinks, you know what, I'll go ahead and opt in, I'll roll the dice, have a great year next year, and then I'll still get a two- or three-year deal, then I really maximize all the earnings power I could have. But, you know, he's a smart dude, and I would say you take a two- or three-year deal and you opt out and take. If it's $60, $70 million, that's still – I can do – I'm not a genius, but I'm just going to go out on a limb here. $70 million or $60 million is more than $44.2 million, last I checked. So I don't care if it's spread over 2 years or 3 years. That's all guaranteed in the NBA. It's not like the NFL. Okay, this is guaranteed in the NBA.
So why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly. Just
because somebody's going to give him at least a two-year deal. I mean, for crying out loud. And if he doesn't get a two-year deal, he'll probably still get a one-year deal, at least $30 million. So it's not like he'd lose a ton of money by doing this, in my opinion.
Yeah. I would make that decision, too. Just make as much as I can and figure it out. And like you said, he knows his body better than anybody else. So
right.
That's a decision that he can make and feel pretty comfortable in doing it, I feel like.
Right. So this article here is trying to say that Paul should opt in. I don't necessarily agree with that. And the fact he's a leader and everywhere he goes, teams get a lot better. That's worth money. That's worth value. No question. All right. I think that covers everything. Anything you want to add before we let everybody go?
No, I think we covered it all.
All right. Hopefully we'll be ready to go for tomorrow morning. We have the Pep Rally 4-5 today at Chautauqua Park there in Beloit for the 8-Man All-Stars. So come on down and enjoy that. And then the Friday Night Lights, 8-10 tonight at the college there in Beloit, NCK Tech. And then we'll have the games, 9:30 pregame, 10 o'clock kickoff, Division II All-Stars, and then 1 o'clock pregame, and then kickoff at 1:30 for Division I All-Stars. And you can listen to those, 8manallstars.com, kdcountry94.com, or right here, regular radio at KD Country 94. Once again, so much information for you to peruse and enjoy, and at the one source you need, 8manallstars.com. Spread the word.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.